Welcome to the Port Charles Update with your hosts, Mish and Mel.
Hello.
Well, hello, hello to you.
So I think it's important that everybody know something before we get started today.
Do share.
Okay, so you and I are more important today than we were yesterday. In terms of social media world, we hit 10,000 followers on Instagram.
Woo! Thank you so much for all the people who follow us and the people who listen. We may still have one listener, but 10,000 followers on Instagram.
Exactly. But it's just, I don't know, the timing of it was super cool because, as you pointed out, it's 3 years ago today that you even posted that we started a podcast. Not to mention, it's the day, the most important day. It's September 17th, a day I will forever remember, a day I've been counting down to, a day that has lasted for two whole weeks. I am so excited. I'm actually going to start with this, okay, like to get into it. So, okay, obviously feel a little bit sad for Britt, but I also feel hopeful for Britt. But I thought it was funny when she saw Maxie and you could see that she's like, oh, I forgot. Today's the day. And I was like, of course it's easy to forget. It's been 2 weeks long. I mean, a lot's gone on in that day. I could easily see how that would slip her mind.
But I like that she forgot. Like you said, it just shows progress. I have faith that she's going to move forward, that she's not going to get hung up on it, that she'll see it as an experience. So I liked her interaction with Maxie. What did she say? Something about like drinking vodka would make this day astronomically.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, girl.
It was that. And obviously she heard back from her mom. So, you know what? Actually, it just occurred to me because obviously, you know, she sat over Jason. But I'm starting to realize, because I was saying I feel hopeful about her. And if I take a second and think about her character and where she's currently at, she's got other stuff going on, right? She has her work journey. She's trying to make peace or friends or whatever at the hospital. She's worried about her mom. So she is being nudged in another direction. But I think what's interesting if it's that it's almost like her almost situation with Jason is actually the thing that's making her vulnerable.
Oh, 100%. It's making her human and developing a lovely circle around herself, including Scott.
Exactly. So I think that story, obviously she's got other things going on, like Huntington's and her mom's missing.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I think that part of that whole Jason thing being this like immediate thing that she had to face really is setting her up for that sort of next chapter, right? Creating emotional space for her to actually change and maybe connect with other people. So in a sense, that's how it could be looked at.
Oh, I totally agree. And I like how things are developing with her and the people around her, and like this whole like Maxie going on a date with Austin and him, I guess. Well, yeah, he was asking about like if she's going to the wedding.
I love
Austin. He's like, I know this one. I said something wrong. I was like, you are wonderful and I love you no matter who you play.
But I feel like Maxie is a really good guide, right? Just generally, well, she's playful about it.
I also think that, you know, she was with Spinelli, who has like his own, you know, kind of way of being and his own charm and his own kind of language and perspective. So she's like prepared for Austin.
Oh no, that might, because that didn't occur to me. My mind was going somewhere else, but now I'm thinking this could get messy just a tad. But I did appreciate Maxie insisting that Elizabeth and Terry, and I love how she pointed out to Terry, are you not her co-chief? Like, are you not? And just insisting that they like step it up a little bit and maybe reach out to Britt. So I really love that push by Maxie. And I have to admit, they got creative. My favorite thing about that whole scene was when, you know, Elizabeth being Elizabeth was all like, well, you know, it'll be all transparent. And Maxie was like, then be subtle. Okay. Like, be subtle, get it together. It was like, you know, wedding coordinator Maxie throwing all of that stuff, you know, in honor of Britt. But I liked what they did. And I really appreciated how creative Elizabeth and Terry were, because honestly, I just figured they would just try inviting her out and just trying to extend an olive branch. The fact that they like bent over backwards to create a scenario that fit Britt.
Mm-hmm.
Was great.
That was a really big deal. And I love seeing this side of Maxie as well, because we kind of lost that for a bit when she's going through the Peter thing. And all we hear is basically her defending him. Now we get to see Maxie again and all the interactions and friends that she has and all the like awesome stuff that she says. So I definitely love that part. But I very much connected with Elizabeth, like rewind to when Terry's like, we're going now. We're going to have fun. She's like, you want to come to my house and like drink wine and watch a movie? I'm like, that's me. That's my mood.
I totally get that, but honestly, I actually thought, because Elizabeth looked a little dolled up already. So when she was like, are you ready to like go and do this thing? I was like, oh my gosh, are they going to the wedding? Because they've been promoting Carly and Jason's wedding like the wedding of the century. And so I thought, oh my gosh, they're going to the wedding. And then later I realized there's just clubbing. But I mean, the part of me is like, I get it. You know, Elizabeth moved on, but at the same time, they're still family. And so I figured, I get Cam was at the wedding, but I was like, where is Jake? You know, all I have to say is that it would have made sense for Cam's entire family to have been present at that wedding.
Yeah, and his children with Sam, but you know, whatevs.
Them too. Them too.
So funny, but I'm gonna give away my favorite line with Terry and Elizabeth was when Terry said to Elizabeth, I hope I can say this like without losing it, pitching a tent with your quasi brother-in-law, when she didn't want to divulge what they're talking about when it comes to camping. So I can't wait for like Elizabeth to unpack that with Terry,
because her look was weird. I'm like, you guys almost kissed, you wanted his blankie, you got close. So I am excited to see more about that. But you brought up Peter, okay? You brought up Peter, okay? So we got to talk about it. I want to start, okay, when Peter is like, haha, I returned, and he's getting her on the phone with Valentine, like, instantly. I mean, Nina did what she could to play it, but all I kept thinking about was if I was there, I would have been screaming, Peter's here! He's here! Like, that's what I would have done. I probably would have died immediately, but that was my instinct watching that whole scene. But she did pretty good. And I mean, Valentina is normally good at that stuff. And I felt like she gave enough hints.
I thought so too. Like, knowing him really well, knowing his living situation, I like that he was able to catch on and that Anna was willing to help too.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was completely futile. Like, it didn't matter. So, I mean, they're in Port Charles. And remember, like, Nixon Falls is an hour's drive away. But it's also, like, you could take a private plane. Those are the only two ways of getting there. Private jets.
Or the teenagers can drive there. That doesn't take very long.
Exactly. But it's still a few hours away. So this is so amazing to me. What I love about Peter is that, like, this is serious, right? But he's also could not be more interested in what Nina has done. Like, he's fascinated.
He is.
It's his own private soap opera. Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, how can I even talk about his interest in her crazy and forget Phyllis clearly seeing Peter from outside of the tonneau, seeing him as a threat and coming and doing her thing? And immediately I knew she was going for the gun, because they've shown us where that gun is like countless times.
I was so impressed with Phyllis, because I was, you know, fine. I felt bad about Lenny and all that stuff, but the way she was pushing Mike and Nina together, I was like, lady, get a hobby. I don't know.
But okay, I know that she was a meddler before, 100%, but I feel like given that Lenny died, it's like, do what you need to do to survive. Like, if this is entertaining to you and it's distracting, and plus she's probably even more annoyed now that she's lost her husband. She's probably like, oh my gosh, you idiots. Like, do you think life goes on forever? Like, so from her perspective, she's probably coming from like, she's still meddling, but I think she's coming from a different place. So look, Phyllis was badass.
Mm-hmm.
However, she was super Phyllis also when she was like putting down the gun, being like, yeah, no, too high risk of a sitch. And then just went and then just sort of walked over. And now they were both officially his hostages. And the moment he gets her away was so funny. Like, he was so proud of himself and thrilled to have him been alone with Nina to really poke the bear. Like, what were your first impressions when he started doing that?
Like, honestly, I was just so giddy. I'm like, crazy?
Yes!
Crazy, and Peter does it
so
well.
That's what I wrote down! That's what I wrote down!
it was amazing. Like, I was so captured by that scene and his bad guy attitude, because he's a caricature, but Nina really isn't that different than him.
But that's at this point. It was well, she's had some points.
I know.
Let's be honest about the points Nina's had. Fine. But that's what I thought was fascinating. It was like, at first, it's like, okay, Peter's in town, huh? But a lot that happened this week really made it all fit together, right? And like, it only grew my appreciation for this whole storyline and for General Hospital as a whole. But like, it was a perfect choice of all people to hold up a mirror to Nina. Yes. It was fascinating, right? Because on paper, you know, Peter's already in the category of bad guy, right? And Nina is doing this weird thing where she's not necessarily as obviously categorized as a bad guy the way that Peter is, and also not in her head, right? So to hold up that mirror and to kind of see that she's not so different than this guy was phenomenal. Like, when he's first of all, Peter, I found his own. Okay, like, I know sometimes people have been like, okay, he's a bit of a caricature, or like, he's very dramatic. I'm so annoyed that I don't know the name of the person, but somebody was saying you need to look up older scenes of Faison, because Faison did this like theatrical also portrayal, and that, you know, it's very similar, and that people might need to kind of compare the two. I am so mad that I don't remember who said this, but it was definitely a good observation. But there was something different about Peter. I found like he really finally found himself. You know what I mean? The character Peter. He was finally like, yep, this is me. And I loved it because he was bad with confidence.
Yes. Okay, exactly. We've talked about, you know, a number of times how we love Peter, but he hasn't really found his groove. He's trying to play the good guy, but that bad guy is just like screaming to come out. And yes, I really, really loved how he did this.
Because he was always having an identity crisis, right? He was always just like, I'm living in the shadow of my father. I'm not my father. I want to be a good person. But like, is this who I really am? So there has been a very huge identity crisis with the character. So this was so cool. So I was captivated. Like, I was like on the edge of my seat. I think I was like, you don't understand. Like, well, you probably do. But I was loving every single second of it, you know, kind of saying like, I'm kind of, you know, when he was telling her, I'm doing you a favor of like, you know, saving you the confrontation with Carly, the comments he made about like, and you think you literally invented a person.
Well, yeah, it was crazy. Like, even when he starts to tell Phyllis and the joy he took in telling her, and something about like, what did Nina say? She's like, Sonny drowned. And then he's like, you know, he does like this weird kind of laugh, but not laugh. And he looks, and he's like, I'm sick and twisted, but you, goddess of love.
But that's exactly what it was. The whole thing was so twisted. Like, all this time, it might have made sense to Nina. But the thing is, she's been confronted by Peter, by Jax, and now with Phyllis. I don't want to get into the last person to have confronted her. It's just too big. It's too big. But, okay. So, it's just funny because now she's having to explain herself three times now to three different people. Yes. And it seems to shock her that it's still not making sense.
I know.
I love it. I love watching her processes. This is why I found it so fascinating. What she was doing was 100% messed up. We can all agree on that. But it was fascinating for her to keep going and going and going along with it, because you know that for every time she chooses to go forward with this, the bigger the fall, basically. Yes. And so I love the fact that Peter thought it was fun to tell Phyllis, like you mentioned, and exactly that. It was that evil laugh that, like, for real, is anyone seeing this? Like, he was just, I think he felt validated that there was someone out there crazier than him. It's like, everyone's talking about me. Has anyone met you? And do you know what the sad part is about this whole thing?
What?
Nina hated Peter August from the moment he stepped in, okay? From the moment he came to Port Charles. And it's sad because that's like the one time her instincts were right about someone.
Oh my God, that's true, because they're on the same wavelength and she can read that kind of crazy and twisted.
Oh my gosh, that never occurred to me, but yes.
I thought about you because he said something about like tying up loose ends, and you always say that about his character.
Oh my god, I literally have this written down. So the thing is, Peter referencing loose ends, and I'm like, that's exactly it. I was like, amazing, hats off to GH. I felt like that was a nod to the freaking audience. It's how we describe him. It's how everybody describes him. And to have him for the first time use that description on himself was incredible. Like the writing this week, like, was so, so good. The way that they tied this whole thing together. So this is all happening. All of this is happening. And okay, so Sunny sees Jax again. It doesn't really matter what life he's living. He's never happy to see him.
No, no, not at all.
And so obviously he puts two and two together and he's like, so you know me. Tell me everything, but don't tell me nothing.
Okay. I don't like you. I'm stubborn. Let's go.
And so, you know, Jax is like, ugh, he's so annoying. But like, he's right on all of this. Yeah. On this subject. But, you know, he's trying to say as much as he can to Sunny while loosely trying to hold this promise that Nina gets to be the one to tell him the whole thing.
Yes.
Okay. So then they get, so the thing is about, like, you know, Mike at this point is that he's all telling Jax, like, you know, I just want to get this over with. I just want to find Nina and like move on with our lives. And I was just like, find Nina? Your town consists of the Tano. Like, where do you think she is? What do you mean you have to find her?
I know, right? Like, that was really weird. I'm like, don't try to make this bigger than it is. This is the Tano series wrap. Let's roll with this.
Yes. So they both end up going to the Tano. So Mike sees everybody. And then Jax, the fire expert, rolls up behind him. Mind you, I did know that because Johnny was like, why did he stop him? I'm like, because oxygen fuels fire. Yeah. So I watched Station 19. So I knew a little bit about the fires a little bit. So, okay. So then there's this secret back door. Okay. So this is incredible. So then they go on the secret back door and Jax is like, okay, poor Phyllis, right? Her life's gone to hell. Just recently. And so, you know, Jax is all like, okay, untie her.
Right, have the biggest conversation of life and just like talk about our feels and like it's romantic being by the fire.
You know, I get it. Like, it took a minute for Nina to snap out of it, but like, you can't drag the chair. Like, how long were you gonna chill and cuddle?
La, la, la.
Drag the chair. And then I guess Sunny couldn't untie the knots. I'm not quite sure what was going on there. So Jax, being a fire expert, super heroic, grabs Phyllis, gets her out, and seats her right in front of the fire a few feet away. Just get some fresh air. No. And so for him, you know, Jax is like, everything is on fire. It's super dangerous. But, you know, as long as it's Nina, not anyone else, it's safe to run back into a burning building. So he does this. He runs back into the burning building. He saves her. Beam falls on Sunny. And Jax is like, oh, we can't do anything about this. Whatever. There was a short window and it's gone now. And he takes Nina out. And for some bizarre reason, he's unable to go back inside.
There's a force field. That's what I had to. Yeah. I mean, we we know why, but this whole thing made me laugh.
But the thing is about Jax, he was so frantic. I'm like, you know, could you maybe call the fire department or something? He just, like, once he got Nina out, he was just, Jax, like, oh, fire, we need to get you guys to safety. Unable to go back in. Ah. And at this point forward, Jax is obsessed with Nina. Obsessed with getting too close to the fire. And even when the fire department is there, I am fascinated by the fact that, like, at one point, like, Phyllis drops to the ground and Nina runs off. And he's like, Nina, no. And I'm like, it's surrounded by firemen.
I was gonna say, to be fair, she's acting like a child. I don't even want to compare her to a child. That's not fair.
Well, I don't know. She did have an imaginary friend, so
fair.
You might not be that far off. But the thing is, it's like, you know, like I said, like Phyllis fell. The woman like lost her whole life, right? She lost Lenny. She lost the business that they built. Like that was home. And again, Nina lost her imaginary made-up person. She's freaking out over a fictional character, and Phyllis and Jax have to try to calm her down. And it's like, do you have any idea what Phyllis has lost, okay? She lost Lenny, she lost the Tano, and then she comes to find out you're crazy. That's the worst part. She put the gun down and risked her life for that. And I said, that has got to go through her mind, like, while she's in the fire, being like, for real?
It's so sad, though, because, like, we know what Nina's mom did to her, and Phyllis was very much that mother figure who was her protector and loved her, and there's this huge rift now. Like, I cannot wait to see how that's going to play out between their relationship. I mean, obviously everybody else, but also Phyllis, who was close to her, who saw her like a daughter.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not good. Like, it's really...
Like, I have wisdom, but I want Phyllis to go back to Port Charles and just kind of connect with some other people, which I think she'll have to because, Nina.
Well, that's exactly the thing, right? So, like, when I'm watching this, I'm watching Phyllis, you know, like, she's lost everything. And then I'm looking at Nina and I'm thinking, well, at this point, she might end up right back in Port Charles. Like, there's no more safe haven for me. You know, so I could, like, at this moment, I could picture Nina ditching Phyllis and just going back. You know, everything is broken. Everything's terrible. And I'm like, and Phyllis is just going to be left here for literally nothing. She's lost Lenny. She's lost, you know, Nina, and she's lost Mike. So, I mean, look, I personally think the whole story will pick up in Port Charles, you know, however they write that. You know, I don't think this is the last of Phyllis. I hope it's not the last of Phyllis. She's like a really important part in this story. So now Mike is in the fire. He's under a beam.
He just needed a knock on the head.
Okay, you're right. That was a cliffhanger, right? It's how the episode ends. So the thing falls, Sunny falls to the ground, and I'm like all in the drama. Like, I'm not even thinking. I'm super in the moment when I watch GH. It's the only time I'm ever in the moment. It's in my meditation. So then, you know, Johnny, Peanut Gallery, starts shouting, oh, is that what's going to get his memory back? And I look, because you know how mad I get when people give me their opinion while I'm watching, because I take it as a spoiler. And I was mad because it didn't occur to me when I was watching that he'll, like, his memories will be smacked back into him. So there's that. But then we come back the following day to see something incredible.
Before we go to the beautiful, what I wrote down for Mike when he got his head hit, I'm like, he'll get his memory back and then he'll Hulk it out, meaning he will just like roar, and the wood beam is going to move and he'll just like start his life anew. But yes, let's go to the serious and such a fantastic scene.
Well, just to follow up on what you just said.
I was trying to be all serious and emotional there.
Where you're just like, he would Hulk it out. I'm like, yeah, and walk out the front door.
Yeah.
Because apparently everybody was like, oh, the back is blocked. We can't get in. I'm like, do you not have hoses? Like, I'm not a fire expert, but can you clear the way? And no one checked the front door. And then to know, and even though earlier I said, like, why is Jax freaking out? You know, there's firemen, people everywhere when Nina runs off. And then it turns out not a single soul saw Sunny walk out of the bar. Like, their tent is set up right in front of the door. And like, only Nina sees him emerge from the smoke. So I thought that part was super funny. I loved that. I love that he just walked out the front door.
Me too.
And no, all the firemen, they're like, anybody, no one checked. Okay.
Don't give us a bad review.
So Mike, Mike goes, not in a million years that I think that would go that way. It was exceptionally written. The whole scenes that he spends where Mike sees Mike, you know, and we have Mike back. It was like, just seeing him, even Johnny, like, he was like, oh my God, he's back. Like, he was so excited. He's like, I love that guy. And and so I was just in awe. You know, this story has been going on for a while. And I mean, it was hard not to watch those scenes. Yes, they were so beautiful, but it beautifully tied up the whole thing. And I just can't even express my awe for it. So let's get into it slowly. So I loved, like, the way it was written. I loved how Mike was talking to Sunny, saying a lot while not saying things that were really specific. I love that.
Well, he was being a dad. Like, I had goosebumps. I had tears in my eyes. he knows how to talk to his son, and that was beautifully displayed at what they built during his time with Sonny before he got sick. And I thought about this scene that you explained when Mike threw away his watch and it was black and white. And we thought, you know, maybe that means Sonny that died. Sonny is no longer, but the reality is it was about Mike. And it just, yeah. It made that, oh my God, so much more. I couldn't, it was so much to watch him and how he just kind of slowly coax him into wanting to know, when he reached out his hand, when he discussed why he left him with Lenny and in this town. I was just, oh,
I have goosebumps, because the thing is, when I was watching, right, he met, mm-hmm. like I heard Lenny's name, and then he opens and I heard him say brothers in arms, and then the, mm-hmm. the chase, and then Johnny's freaking out, and I'm like, what? He has this loud reaction. He's like, oh my gosh, he said to Lenny. And I was like, what? Like, I missed all of it because he was so loud reacting. And I watched it again and heard everything, and I couldn't believe it. Like, I think my jaw dropped, and I had my head in my hands, just holding my cheeks, watching all of those scenes. So not only was there that, so that huge revelation that Mike was, like, I mean, we knew Mike was there at the start of the journey, obviously, but yes. just what he, like, you know, what he sort of orchestrated, if you will, but also when he like touched Sonny at one point.
Yes.
And then all the flashes and the way mm-hmm. that they did the flashes, like, how do you not feel so impacted? And it feels nostalgic and you're like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Like, I was freaking out.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this question. I know you're younger than me, but did you remember all of the scenes?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Because you were saying, like, oh my God, I must be old. It was like Sonny and Carly for 25 years.
Yes, I did remember. And obviously some scenes are just like iconic, like the one of him in his apartment where he hits everything.
Yes.
I mean, Sonny's hit a lot of things. Yes. So I can't, like, that scene, I've seen it repeatedly. That could have been the YouTube scene, I don't know. But like a lot of the Sonny Carly ones, yeah, like I definitely remembered it. But it was also, I think, I was also jolted by seeing Sonny. So when the flashes came, mm-hmm. it really hit me, because I realized, you know, like over this whole thing, it's like, oh, yay, Sonny's not dead. You know, he's Mike. You know, mm-hmm. that was always comforting. The character is still on the actor hasn't left. He's not gone. So I was just like, yeah, Sonny's here. And I was like, you know, sure, it's different. He's Mike, whatever. That's it. Mm-hmm. But then when I saw those scenes and scenes of Sonny being Sonny, mm-hmm. it really hit me that Sonny has been gone all this time.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty deep. Because I have to compliment, like, Maurice Bernard just for his acting.
Oh,
like, we believed he was Mike, and then seeing yes. that transition, that literal, the change in his expression, his demeanor, his wanting to know more. And I absolutely love, like, that line that kind of made that arc or transition for me is when, you know, he has the flashback and Mike says to Sonny, you made mistakes, and Sonny says, I think they were called crimes. And
it was
I
funny
died.
It was like, this is what I mean, like, how incredible was that? First off, all of those scenes serve to kind of give you a deeper meaning and explanation, you know what I mean, to the story. You know, it really ties mm-hmm. things together. They go deep into his character, saying Mike is the better parts of you, this is all you. You yes. know what I mean? You being Mike is not this new made up version. It's an extension of who you've always been, right? Yes. It's a part of you. So that is all beautiful. You know, his father coming back is beautiful. Making comments that is that alludes to his Alzheimer's, right? How beautiful mm-hmm. it was to hear Mike tell him, if I could remember, I would want it. I would want my memories. And we know how deep that is because of his journey. But then to add the humor and mm-hmm. the clever lines, like the one you mentioned, I just think was so freaking incredible.
Okay, so with all the incredibleness that's going on, the bonding, we're watching this beautiful scene, father and son trying to, you know, bring him back to life. Mm-hmm. And then he says that line, Mike is dead. How did you feel about that?
It was so definitive. It was very much like if you're walking and someone just puts up a hand and it's like, stop. That's how it felt. It was like, oh, Mike is dead. And then I was like, oh, is that Sunny Mike? because as the storyline is going, you wonder, you know, is Sunny coming back? How will he come back? What's going to go down with his memories? Mm-hmm. And so in that scene, to have him say Mike is dead, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, he's going to emerge as Sunny. Like, there's
Full
not
going
to... Mm-hmm. He's going to emerge as Sunny, and there won't be any confusion. He is not going to be split. He is Sunny, which means he knows what his life is, and he's going to go back for it, and he's going to expect it and want it back. And this is exactly why those words keep hitting me like a ton of bricks. Because I've read what the actors have said about the storyline and also just what the characters on the show have been saying. So regarding how everyone thinks Sunny will feel about the Carly and Jason union, okay? So Maurice Bernard and his, and like, look, at the end of the day, everything Laura Wright said about her character, because she said the way that she sees the storyline is that those loving feelings were always there, but they were boxed away. So they're uncomfortable having to tap into that. That is exactly what happened. Maurice Bernard said in an article, knowing Sunny, he's gonna see this as a betrayal. That's Sunny. So that's what Maurice Bernard had said. And I think, well, they would know better than anybody else. And that is exactly what I am seeing, because everybody kept saying, you know, like Sunny would support this, Sunny would want this. And again, and I've said this before in the podcast, a deceased Sunny, yeah. Ghost Sunny would be like, do you guys get together? Totally understand. But an alive Sunny is not going to be like, oh my God, I understand. I don't think so. Like, I don't think so. And I think there's going to be a lot of anger and rage.
Do you think Sunny will accept the position of henchman? Like just, you know, tradesies with Jason?
Oh, no, no. He's a boss. He's a boss.
He could be the director of henchmen. The CEO of henchmen.
Oh man, if people thought it was a problem that there were two people at the head and that was confusing, it's about to get a lot more confusing for the five families, or however many are actually remaining, which we'll find out Monday. So about Sunny and about the rage. So again, I think, you know, he'll see that as a betrayal. I think it will be as Maurice Bernard has stated. And part of that rage, as we saw today, is going to be because he got his memory back and he's like, you kept me from my family. So I think that there's going to be a lot of rage that people are moving on, and rage that someone did this, right? Because now there's someone to blame. It's not an accident. There's someone to blame. So I'm just like, what is he going to do with all of this anger and rage and loss? Because he lost 8 months, but he also lost his life.
Yes.
A large part of it, right? Nothing is ever going to be the same. And so when we go to the hospital, also super funny watching Nina. She did an amazing job. The actress did an amazing job during all of her hysterics at the fire, jumping back and forth between the names. She doesn't know what to do. Right? Because in part, for her, it's Mike. That's it. Point finale. It's Mike. But the fact that when she's with Phyllis, she's like, I have to act like I'm not crazy. It's Sunny. You know I lied. You know I lied. And so she goes back and forth, and it's funny to watch her try to adhere to social norms by being like, I know he's Sunny. Mike, you know? So I loved her back and forth there. And then at the hospital, when Phyllis comes out of that room, she had a certain look to her that I couldn't necessarily fully understand. I'm like, she seems upset. Is this simply just her anger at Nina? And then Nina walks in, and like we talked about, like Maurice Bernard is a fantastic actor. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was passive, you know, just looking at Mike as, oh, my Sunny fix. But when you walked in, it was such a physical thing. It was a full-fledged transformation that you can spot instantly. And those are the moments where you're like, you guys are incredible at this. Like, you're so good at what you do that you gave us this Mike guy. But like realizing how distinct they were, and they're really two different people. One not real, one more real.
Oh my God. Like I couldn't, those scenes were fantastic. And even though Nina was spewing some serious stuff, like, but our love, that was real. I'm like, whoa. Like, didn't you're really going to still give it a go, man.
Okay, so that was fascinating because we know Sonny. And there's something... Okay, so there is his physicality, obviously, and his facial expressions, everything. But when I say physical, I feel like I could see like an imaginary barrier, right? Like there's mm-hmm. a fear that comes with Sonny. Mm-hmm. You know, if this were Mike and Mike knew she lied, she would be able to get close. There would be room to work, right? Yes. There would, you know, but it was so funny to see that it was Sonny. And so she has all of her Mike love. But she is different. And I found like the space, the physical boundaries, everything was just different. It was different. There's that Sonny fear. I mean, you can't bring that kind of crap to Sonny. So it was so interesting to watch and to see. And I was just like, this is a huge loss for Nina, right? So she lost Mike at the fire. So at the fire, she's freaking out that she might lose him. And now she's in a room and he's gone. She could see that he's gone. She could see that he's not there. And she really doesn't know what to do, right? Because we talked about this a lot, you know, how like the trio of Sonny, Carly, Jason, there is this inner circle. Mm-hmm. And I felt like in the scenes with Nina realizing he's Sonny, it was like watching that inner circle be a real physical circle. Because she couldn't get through at all, right? That was back. You know, there's a special place for the people who actually get past that and get close to Sonny. And it was watching her try to fight with that inner circle. It was crazy.
Well, yeah, even the way she held herself, like she was kind of exactly. her hands to herself.
Fearful.
Towering, very small. And she, but can you believe she actually said, I don't have to lie anymore. We can start from scratch.
That was disturbing. Because that's what Dude. I mean. Like, because look, at that point, I know she knows. Like at that point, she says it in such a meek way. It's kind of like grasping at straws. Mm-hmm. I feel like even she was having a hard time lying to herself. Like I'm watching a person. No, he's gone. And I'm watching her. No, he's gone.
Yeah.
And she's just holding on to any last fiber and checking because she is refusing. And she's holding on for dear life. That's what I was watching because she knew she lost him the moment she looked at him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's going to be weird. Like when I think about them in the context of Port Charles, like what is that going to look like? Is she going to constantly be puppy dog around him? Like freaking out. Like what is going to happen?
Oh, my God. Seriously, though, is she always going to try to be nice? Is she going to buy him flowers? Like, I just don't know. And then when everybody else starts finding out, like, I cannot wait to see the poop hit the fan.
Yeah. So much. This is what I have been freaking waiting for. It's been amazing watching it happen slowly. Because remember, everybody has a different reaction for their own reasons. You know what I mean? Like Jax has his own history with Sonny. He has a specific history with Nina. So that's why I want to keep seeing it because her relationship to Carly, what's Carly going to say? What is Maxie going to say? What is Brick going to say? You know what I mean? Like I'm curious because everybody has a different connection to the people involved and to Nina. And so like for me, it was hilarious watching Jax find out another insane thing about Peter. When he, right? like, you know, who started the fear, she's like, Peter, he's the bad one. She's still, right? That's still where she's at. Mm-hmm. He's like, wait a second. And so when he calls Maxie trying to reach her, first off, I'm like, could you not text her? Because now you're all like, she's in danger. You could have texted one, you know, it wasn't about Sonny. It was about Maxie. But also, aside from that, it's the fact that, isn't it, like, how bad is this that Jax is prioritizing Maxie in a way that Nina hasn't and can't.
Oh, right. I did not see it like that.
So that was really tough. Like, it's really bad. And like, she's like, I'm not delusional. And he's like, no, you've just been really mixed up. He said something to kind of lighten what she's been doing. And I'm like, no, like, it's bad. Like, it's really bad. And also for me, I was devastated for Phyllis because Phyllis said, you know, when she told Jax what she saw, you know, he remembers. So that's what's crazy, right? So now we have the definitive answer. He remembers everything that happened, but that's it. That's all. Mike's gone. So he remembers. He's like, thanks. Super appreciative, Phyllis. But that bond is gone.
For Phyllis. I mean,
yeah. So I was really sad for her. Watching, I mean, look, the woman has undergone a lot of shock just in general, but in that one night alone. And it was just... you know, I want to see more of Phyllis processing. I would like to see some Phyllis Sunny scenes. So for myself, I can see what the dynamic has turned into. But, you know, I was fascinated watching Phyllis process that with Jax.
I was too. And I'm really hoping, like you said, that once kind of everything has, quote unquote, calmed down a little bit, there is, and Sunny is still a good person. Like we said, that Mike person, yeah, is just, it's not somebody that doesn't exist. It's still there. And that bond with Phyllis was real. So I want him to kind of, you know, take care of her in a sense, like embrace her into his family, because she was the one that was like family.
But that's the thing. I can see that happening, right? But it means getting to know all of him, not just Mike, parts. Which, sure. Right? Which is what like his father was alluding to, right? Like you're all of this. You know what I mean? Like all of this is part of you. So that's the thing. I do see a journey for Phyllis, but it really is about getting to know who he really is. I think there's definitely a good, solid possibility, right? And good reasoning for Sunny to lean on Phyllis, because he's going to need her when he goes back home and realizes you can't really ever go back home. And so when I was sitting on the couch with Johnny, you know, and we're looking at the wedding.
Longest, I mean, look, wedding, everybody, and vows of life.
Yes. And like, look, at the end of the day, you know, nobody's going to get to Port Charles in time to stop this wedding. It's nighttime. There's a fire. No one's breaking up this wedding. And so Johnny's like, so do you think they'll get married or not get married? And I'm like, look, at the end of the day, the legality to this marriage is in question, right? It's not legal. Oh, like fair. No matter whether somebody interrupts it, doesn't interrupt it, Sunny is not dead. And I go, but the reality is it has zero to do with legality. They're married by heart. You know what I mean? That's the point. They've moved on. The love is there. They've crossed that line. So it that's the story. It's not about whether or not, exactly. It's not about whether or not she's legally married to Jason. Yay, Sunny's alive. It's the point where they open that hidden box of their love. And Jason said it to her, I would never leave you.
They're so good though. Like I was kind of like on the, I want to see them together, but physically seeing them together took me some getting used to because of their history, because of all this stuff that's gone on in between. But when they had that scene in the, that empty space of what's the bar called? Jake's. Yeah. So when they had that,
it's hard to remember the name of his son, huh?
Well, he seems to forget.
I know.
And just seeing them just really open up to each other. And then like when he brought her to the bridal room, I was like, is it going to go down right here? Like there's some fireworks, my friend.
But that's what I thought. And you know what, to kind of like speak to what you're saying, that like you weren't used to it and we weren't, right? Because they were acting awkward. Like,
yeah.
For the whole time they were acting awkward. And it was the first time that we saw them, you know, address the elephant in the room, which turned out to be their feelings, which I was not really aware of. And they finally became physical with each other. We didn't get to see this gradual shift in their relationship. It was sudden. So maybe that speaks a little bit to why it was weird. It was weird for me too. But then they had that kiss, which was a kiss, and they went for it. And in all that kissing, you know, Jason is smirking and they're there. And I'm like, isn't everybody like, wow, this is the first time we're seeing this? Because I'm sorry, they have not been acting like a couple. They have been committed and soulmates in their hearts for forever, and that's what everyone keeps referring. But I mean, like, no one's seen them do that
for a long time. Like, Joss had to break it up twice.
I know. I thought that was so funny. There was a couple of really special moments that I really liked. I mean, again, nod to the history, but like even when she had that conversation with Bobby before the wedding, like about how did I get so lucky with her. And I love how Bobby said, you know, one day your daughter's hell bent on ruining your life and then she doesn't need you anymore. And I was like, oh my god, that has so many layers. It's so funny. Oh, how did I forget this? So, okay, yes, we're talking about the wedding, but I totally forgot that moment that Ava shows up to see Carly.
Yes.
So that was pleasant, right? You have Carly being sympathetic. You have Carly offering to like deal with Avery together. You know, this is what we could tell her instead. You have Ava sharing like positive, like wishes, well wishes, and Carly for the first time taking it all in. And I just kept thinking in that moment, their bond will become even stronger once they find out about Nina.
Oh my God, right? Like, I love them together. them as friends, them supporting each other. What Ava had to say about Jason and her love, like, I think she said something, you have a chance at happiness and you shouldn't take it for granted. And this is the new circle, Ava, Carly, and Jason.
Yes. And I talked about this. Could she be the third? And the thing is, I just think her and Carly would be unstoppable. You know what right? I mean? Ugh. Ava is calculating and Ava could totally support, help plan, you know, just be that like mob consultant, yet stay away from the whole thing. So that's what I would definitely think would be really cool. Okay. Okay. So before the wedding, Jason has this talk with Michael where he says out loud a bunch of really sweet things. Like, you're the only child I've ever raised.
I know. I was like, oh, okay, this is awkward, but continue. I
love and it. Yeah. And so this part was interesting for me. Mm-hmm. What Michael was saying.
Okay.
That he said he's always wanted them together, even when Sunny was around.
That seriously shocked me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know that, and like that's significant because at Sunny's funeral, they were the core family. Yes. They were the family that never was, if you will, right? Sunny, Carly, and Jason. And Jason actually credited Michael saying, you ended up making me and Carly a family. And yes. That has not been breakable. So that was really, really significant to hear Michael say something like that, factoring in Sunny being around, because we'll see how this all comes to fruition. And also, pre-wedding, Monica is the freaking best, okay? You know how much I love how direct she is when she's telling Jason, you know, she's one lucky lady. And he's like, no, I'm the lucky one. She's like, oh, we both disagree. Like, I loved it. You know, her the fact that she later goes right back to him being like, hey, your lawyer's here. So, and then like poking again at the whole prenup thing. I just thought it was funny. And then all of, because we thought like Gladys would be somehow the commentator of the wedding, but it turned out Spinelli and Diane took that role, which was kind of fun. So it was fun watching them eye Monica, be like, ooh, what's coming? So I love that they were a little bit everywhere and a little bit giving, like, you know, the little peanut gallery for us.
Which was amazing. Like, I love Diane so, so freaking much. Everything mm-hmm. she has to say is so on point. You know, who knew she knew about Austin? She was talking about the five families.
Yes.
Like, she's just like, I just want to sit and have a drink and hear her talk.
Okay. So about that. So I didn't know what to think of it at this point, right? Because we know that the five families were plotting something. We're hoping Jason knows at this point. And mm-hmm. so when Diane mentioned the five families, she keeps saying things like, but Spinelli, you know everything. He's like, yeah, I've gone through all of their like communication devices, whatever. So at this point I'm thinking, so like, is that like a hint that like we know what's coming?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
Okay.
About, you know what I mean? About what the five families were actually plotting. Because I thought it was something to do with like taking down the business. I had no idea that it was actually about straight up murdering Carly and Jason.
Yeah, that totally shocked me.
Very much shocked me. Okay. Whatever. Let's just do it. Doesn't matter. We're here. So you have all of them plotting this stuff. Let me just ask you, what do you think is going down?
Okay, so I really believe that Jason is aware of what's going on and he has an ally. Her name escapes me at the moment.
Mrs. Wu.
Yes, Mrs. Wu. So she whispers something in his ear. And even when the men were talking and she was with them, you see her face was changed even throughout the wedding. Like, you saw a change in her attitude, a change in her facial expressions. Did you see that too?
Oh my gosh, it's like I'm literally flashing back to the specific scene where because she parts the men, right? So she leaves them together. The men are together. And she finishes that saying, you know, like, let's seize the day. Mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. she's like, people don't know the rest of that saying. And then she says, don't put your trust in tomorrow, which is interesting now that we think about it, right? Because what do you mean? If you plotted and you're seizing the day, then you very much trust in tomorrow because you've put thought and planned it. But to say that to them means things are gonna, like, you shouldn't trust in tomorrow. She was referencing them because we knew that when he left the hospital, he got a call. And I trusted the whole time, you're not gonna like murder the main characters. Like, right. That's just also something. And so like you, I think that he knows, but it was that last thing in the car. Like, his answer to Carly made me feel confident.
Yes.
That the men were going to blow up. And in that moment, I was just thinking about Mrs. Wu. And I was like, okay, what? Okay, so she's going to like split their territory because the five families have been around for so long. So like you're technically taking a hit at two families. So I am interested in what this means for her and for her business. Total aside.
But it's so true. I love that there is, you know, all these women in power. GH is about strong women and bonds and connections. So I do also, I am very curious. Like, I would love for her to catch kind of
yes!
and see what happens.
Because I did feel her congratulations to Carly was sincere. Well, I mean, I know everybody is like, whatever, two-faced. You have to be. But it did seem sincere. So this is really interesting. Really interesting. I really do think she plotted with them.
I think so too.
Okay. Back to, so that makes me feel better. So even when I saw the explosion, I'm like, yes, there's going to be an explosion. I think I know who it is. I'm feeling really okay to go into the weekend like this.
Well, exactly. When we see two people in a car, especially after a wedding, we're like, okay, explosion, car accident, something along those lines. But I knew it wasn't going to be Jason and Carly, so I'm good.
Yeah, I just loved watching the explosion happen because, you know, when they're filming the church, we know that there's no wall where the camera is. Right? Yeah. And what I thought was funny about the explosion is that technically there's supposed to be one door, but a lot of the explosion is happening where the wall should be.
I didn't notice that.
I feel like such a nerd being like, you know, I don't know about this explosion. Okay, so other little things at the wedding. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is what I was thinking until you made that comment about Austin and Maxie. So when Maxie was sitting with Austin, she starts kind of making reference to Jason and Carly saying it just feels right. And remember, Carly and Jason have a longstanding friendship and history as she does with Spinelli. And it was, you know, I just wondered if that was a clue.
Oh, I definitely think, total love triangle. Because as it is, Spinelli was like, Diane, please go over and like rescue Maxie from Austin, or maybe she needs a break, and he makes up the whole DJ thing that he has information when maybe we don't know if he does, but I definitely think there's going to be some sort of love triangle type situation.
Well, it looks like Maxie's really distracting him from Ellie.
Yes.
Yes. Also, Epiphany was the best.
Oh my God, that hug. I was crying. She's like, I can hug him like basically as long as I want. Everybody must wait.
I thought that was so funny. Like, let me also partake in this. I was there. Something actually kind of interesting. I was paying attention to what Spinelli was saying to Jason before the wedding. And he says something about going in different directions and to be together would not be true. Would not be, you wouldn't be able to kind of be your true self. Okay. And so I felt like that was a hint about Carly and Jason. To go back to how things were would not be like true to yourself because you're going in different directions, meaning her and Sunny.
Oh, yeah. Like she can never box up her feelings for Jason.
No.
It's going to be such a a struggle because ethically, you know, what is the right thing to do and what does your heart want and what can you live with for the rest of your life?
And so I just think that like there were little hints. So I felt like Spinelli taking the time to go up and talk to Jason and just say that statement that was so deeply meaningful was certainly a hint about what to expect.
Love it. I'm going to keep an eye on that. Okay. So Carly's choice of her dress, like it made so much sense to me to not go like white or traditional because that's not what she is. That's not what their love is. And from the moment that they had their first kiss, she was glowing. So I thought it was so interesting that they picked a gold dress to really represent that glow inside and out, being her true self, being accepted for who she is, and really just shining in this moment for the rest of her life.
That's a deep dress. I like it. Oh, okay. Also, it's kind of funny statement that came from Milo. I like the little moment where Willow's like, I'm so glad you didn't do that thing. You pretended to find the ring. You couldn't find the ring. And then you found it. I thought that was just a funny moment to have given them.
I feel like that was a nod to him, the human being, not Michael, the actor. So I thought it was really sweet because he's, you know, on
true.
His Instagram,
he's
they always, exactly, they always make mention of the fact that he's so silly. And then, like, you know, they have to scream action and then he has to be all like serious and Michael.
Oh, I think, yeah, I like that. That's really adorable. Okay, what did you think about this, though? So mm-hmm. Michael was spending some time with Joss, and then Joss is given this, you know, dialogue about marriage. I'm not sure if right? I believe in it, and then I have hope in it, and then, like, am I going to be alone forever? And I'm like,
you know, you're outside.
I was like, what is happening? And I started wondering if they were, I guess, maybe... wrong choice of words, but I'm sure you could get what I'm saying, but like maybe like diminishing or just starting to poke holes in the relationship with Cam.
100%. Okay. You see the way Cam looked at Trina and that they're going to have fun and they're so happy. And yes, there's a specific way that he looks at Joss, but it's so different than his interaction and relationship with Trina.
Yeah. Old love versus new love. You know what I mean? Like him and Trina had a really huge connection. Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay. Speaking of all of this stuff. So Joss goes over to confront Spencer.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I was very like riveted watching this. Okay. So obviously the actors have changed over time. The mm-hmm. actors on the show currently are extremely talented. But these characters have existed for a very long time. These characters have had kid storylines. They've had teen storyline. And when I sat there, I was like, oh my gosh, these characters are adults. Like, I know that they're the young adults, but they've moved over. That whole back and forth to me was just so amazing to watch, right? To me, to watch these legacy characters go at it and getting that glimpse of the next generation in action, for me, was just amazing to watch, just because I watched it where these characters had their like Lila's kids camp drama. And now I'm seeing them at the Metro Court. I'm watching Joss embody all of that Carly and watching Spencer. So I just was so amazed by the whole thing. I got a couple of, I was so proud. I was just so proud of them. And so then there were some funny moments, like when Esme showed up, which I think, okay, this is what I think is really funny. So in that episode, they were going back and forth with like Drew. And yes. I hate to say it, but every time they would go to Drew, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's also happening. I kept forgetting. I totally kept forgetting. And I thought it was funny that we're watching Drew in a real prison. And then here's Spencer in a like see-through prison, like a different kind of metaphorical prison with Esme. That he can't get out of.
Because... it was so psycho. Like, it was so weird to see the way she spoke to him. And okay, so then oh my gosh, what is her name? Harmony. So Harmony's talking to Alexis just about kind of like, these are the type of girls that Shiloh would recruit. But in the end, like the way Esme was talking to Spencer, I was like, no. She's the cult leader. And she has her follower Spencer that she's obviously manipulated.
But that's what Harmony means. So she's saying they recruit girls like her to recruit other people. That's what she's saying.
Okay, that makes more sense. Because I'm like, they do both.
Like, great. They do both, right? So like seeing people that are like troubled. So of course you're gonna prey on the vulnerable. But they do go after people like that to help build the organization.
It was just really hard to watch. Hard to watch just Spencer snap from one person to the next when Esme speaks. It's so messed up.
Well, I like Esme does crazy super good.
Right?
And I love it when she's trying to describe Trina and that whole scene. Like, what's the word? Joss, like human being. She's like, no, that's two words. Like, she does it really well. And then there's a point where, you know, he snaps at Esme and then like alludes to the fact that he's not doing this alone. And Joss sarcastically is like, oh, no, you didn't do this alone. And when she confronts them, Spencer kind of smirks, almost like, help me.
I know, that's what I thought. No, but honestly, that's what I thought too. Like, he's giving her clues.
And so, okay, look, this is all I have to say about, because you mentioned Harmony and Alexis, and I'm like, I watched their scenes and I'm like, so this is the same conversation they've had already. Like, yeah, what's happening? Totally. So you're talking again about Esme. Once again, Alexis, you're throwing stones, and then you go, I shouldn't throw stones, and then you're friends again. Like, to me, I was watching and I'm like, why is this going on? Why is this happening? But I do like their friendship.
Yeah. Okay, some of my lines, I'm just kind of giving away my lines throughout, but I loved when Joss said to Spencer, "You're taller, but you have not grown up inside."
Oh my gosh, that's really good. That's really good. I just loved her calling him and all this crap, but I also love the shock of the whole, what? Like, you know, Trina has had feelings for you and you had feelings for her. Like, of course, Joss is going to simmer on this. You know, she has the whole Victor information. She's watching this go down. Her instincts are correct about Esme. I just can't wait for that to unravel some more, to know more about her. Because, like, hey, okay. So the thing is, earlier, she's with both of them when Valentine comes in. And this has been my worst fear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has been my worst fear. And I've talked about this. I love Valentine now. I love Valentine. But Valentine, who was there when Spencer was a child, I despised him.
Yes.
I would like him in other, let's say, romantical scenes with Nina. But then whenever Spencer was around, like, I hated him because he literally went after Spencer as if he was an adult. You murdered his father.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you kind of like was threatening of him. And just the way that he was, in fact, lying to Nina, right? I didn't do those things. You did. You did shoot Nicholas. He just survived it. Like, you didn't know that.
Exactly. Okay?
And so that's hard for me because Spencer is very justified because Valentine really did do those things. And we know that he changed, but the Valentine that walked up to them was not changed Valentine. You were still taunting Spencer. You were still dismissing him.
Yeah, that was weird, and I did not.
That's hard. That's hard for me because I feel like it's two worlds colliding for me.
It is, and he has no reason to. He has ELQ. He's built this whole entire other life, and he's turned a leaf, and I didn't appreciate that, Valentine.
No, well, that's the thing, because like I said, it feels like two worlds colliding, and I wonder if they're going to take time for, I guess, the Valentine two identities to reconcile, because how do you be Valentine with Spencer on the canvas? That's how I feel about the whole thing, because I remember what he did. And also he gave us remnants of that. And I loved a couple of lines when Spencer was like, "At least I know who my father is."
No, it was funny as heck.
That was some good stuff. And also this part. Okay, so that happens. Esme is turned on by the whole thing. Oh, and then both Spencer and Nicholas seem to be taken with her when she sort of gets involved and goes, "Who's the bossy Brit?" They both seem to like that she was on their side. And I was like, what does that mean?
And then she says that line, "Nothing like mutual hate to bring a family together." She's like cementing her position in their lives.
Okay.
Are you okay?
did Ryan ever have a Faison connection?
I don't know, and I did not Google it.
No, it's just because, like, look, obviously I think, you know, they're showing Esme, and it's possible it's very much so a Ryan connection, right? She's adopted. It's just because she said, "Who's the bossy Brit?" And when I think Anna and think Faison, and I think Faison was a family friend to the Cassadines, so it just makes me wonder, but I don't know. That's a stretch.
It is a stretch, but I don't know. She scares me, and I don't know.
Okay, so look, I just want to say this about Drew before I forget. Okay, so I like this Drew, and when I watch him, I feel like, okay, you're making the character your own, but when I'm watching him, I can actually see some Drewness, right? Because of course I'm thinking of Billy Miller who played him, and I'm thinking about that character Drew that I knew. I don't know about you, but when I'm watching him play it, some of like the way he answers or the humor, it totally reminds me of original Drew.
I think so too. I do think he's like merging them very nicely, and I can't wait to see him back in Port Charles to see how everything is going to unfold.
Like, I think that's really cool. I'm like, how are you doing this? Because you're bringing back, and you know what I mean? Like, it takes a lot of talent because I really have the remnants of Drew, and I love how he's sort of doing it. And Chloe is useful as hell.
Right? I was shocked, and I wasn't sure if I could trust her, but she really did prove herself.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. Also, my favorite and all that was when Drew was explaining to the mercenary what a mercenary is, and that he did that. So therefore, you value money, and I have money, so you should take my money. I was like, that is okay. I love how he like drew a picture of that whole thing.
And then he also brought up the Cassadines.
Yeah, because he heard the Greek and he's correct. He is correct. The Cassadines did, in fact, snatch him up.
Oh, this is messy.
Speaking of the Cassadines, Nina's like, oh, yeah, and I think my Aunt Liesl might have died. Have you heard anything?
Oh, my God, I can't.
Oh, my gosh, right? Because I said earlier about what? Nina, like how people are going to react to her? So you got Maxie and the Peter thing. What? You didn't tell me, blah, blah, blah. And then how do you think Britt's going to feel that Nina endangered her mother? And not to mention, you know, she doesn't know where her mom is. And she's telling Jax, oh, did you hear anything about Liesl? But she's so wrapped up in her imaginary friend that's gone that, you know, who cares about Liesl, forgetting that Liesl has a daughter and Jax has a connection to Britt.
Well, she also forgot that Mike shares a grandson with her. So, I mean, she's all over the place.
It's so fantastic, though.
It is so fantastic. Okay, since we're talking about the Tano again, I have to just kind of give a nod to the silent scene with Carly and Sunny when Mike is there, where she's just kind of stretching out her hand to him, and how her, you know, warm expression and him accepting her back into his life. Like, it made me crumble. And I'm like, oh God, wait till you get home, Sunny. Damn.
Yeah. Because it's going to be real hard. It's good. And also what was funny was when like Mike shows Sunny Carly and then he's like, is she a part of that life?
I like her. She's pretty.
I thought that was so funny. Okay, everybody, let's talk about something big that happened this week also that I don't think most of us knew was happening when it happened.
No, but I was confused as heck as to how far Albany was.
And so before we get to all the tears, I could not stop laughing at Portia, angelic Portia.
Yeah.
Constantly worried about what Jordan remembers, being like, you know, I said nothing. I babbled. It doesn't mean anything. And Jordan is super chill, being like, no, like I remember, like in a super upbeat way. And then when they're finally alone together, Jordan, you know, takes the opportunity to talk to her about what she thinks it is. So that was super funny to me. Jordan's like, that's it, right? I'm being super helpful. And Portia's finally relieved. I mean, look, I'm worried about Jordan. I'm watching her and Curtis, and they're sharing so many beautiful scenes that is legit the first time I'm actually rooting for them. I'm like, where is this coming from? I'm like, why can't you crazy kids make this work? Meanwhile, for like a year, we've been like, oh my gosh, she should dump him. But in those moments, it was just so beautiful to see. And so then it's like, there's so many like optimistic statements, okay? So like, we're watching these emotional things. Everyone's worried about Jordan. Glad she's okay. And then Austin's talking and he's like, yeah, there's some bad stuff happening, but he said it's reversible. We just need to act fast and we've made arrangements. So it's like all super positive, all the things I need to hear to know character's not dying, you know, it's reversible. Maybe there's a pause, whatnot. Okay. That's what's happening. Whatnot. Also, just to avoid getting to where I'm going, I'm going to take a pit stop and talk about a fun fact. The actor playing Sean, the actor's name is spelled S-E-A-N, and the character Sean is S-H-A-W-N.
That hurts my Friday brain.
It's riveting stuff and talent to play.
I love your deep dive. His name is into Sean. Like, that deep dive.
Like, we never do any research, but this I felt compelled to share. And also, I couldn't help but think this, and I'm thinking this in the context that, like, this is the third TJ. When I saw him in a scene with Sean and Molly, I just kind of laughed to myself, and I'm like, they're such a constant in TJ's life, even when TJ wasn't TJ. Oh. You know? Like, anyways. So then. I'm like, this is great news, everybody. Jordan's condition's reversible. She's going to Albany, New York. And then the goodbyes seem super intense. First, there's one section of Sean and like TJ and Molly. And even Sean is just like shaking his head and like crying. And I also was like, this is intense. But then I also found it comical the way that she kept getting wheeled from one spot to the next. I was like, you know what? It's better than Lulu because she got wheeled out unconscious.
True.
But that should have been a clue, right? Like, if I'm having a Lulu flashback of her last scenes, that should have been a clue for me. And then she's stopping at, like, Curtis, and it's super emotional.
Oh my gosh.
And then she gets wheeled out. I'm like, why does it feel like we're saying goodbye? And I was like, okay. And then, like, we did say goodbye.
Okay,
to the actress playing Jordan.
Okay, so the next day, I follow her on my, like, my personal Instagram. We follow her with our page, with our podcast page. And I was shocked. I was so shocked. I was like, oh my God, okay, so those two are real. It took me such a long time to kind of, like, digest the information and make my own peace with it. And then I rewatched the scene just to, like, you know, feel the feels.
I was devastated. I was like, I saw the post and I was like, no, because I was thinking, oh, she's going to take a little break and she's coming back. Like, these are the stories I tell myself to be okay. Like, when Franco got diagnosed with the tumor, I'm like, he's not going to die. La, 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 la. I don't want to listen to anything about the tumor. You know what I mean? And with Jordan, yes. I'm like, la, 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 la. She's going to be fine. Everything's all good. And then it wasn't. And I'm so upset because, look, I absolutely loved her portrayal of Jordan. I thought she was badass. I love the fact that nothing ever fazed her. I honestly felt like she was sort of the female Sunny in her yes. role. And yeah, I'm really gonna miss her, and I'm really gonna miss her portrayal of Jordan. So I'm super sad.
I'm super sad too. She's amazing, but I do, you know, we push for the stories to happen and we want to see what happens next. And I am excited to see what she does next in her career. So I will continue to support
That part I think can keep me going, but I'm pretty sad about this one. So we'll see. We'll try to move forward. We'll leave you guys on that really depressing note. Bye.
No, we're gonna get okay, so I think we covered all of the things, and something we love to do and that at times makes you a little nervous.
Yep.
do you have some favorite moments, stars, lines?
Okay. Scenes? You might laugh, but I'm actually giving a gold star to Tuesday. Because
elaborate, please.
And so the reason is because I loved a lot of things that happened that day. So this is when Peter was incredibly wicked and had all these amazing lines. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is when I was captivated by Joss and Spencer. And this is where I kept getting reminded of Drew. And where I was sort of like, oh my gosh, there's remnants of original Drew. And I was like liking it. And I was liking him working with Chloe. And I liked how this rando nurse Chloe turns out to like be super helpful and like punches him. So I basically love the episode on Tuesday. So I'm giving a gold star to that.
Okay.
And I said a couple of my favorite lines, but I reserved this one. And maybe it's not funny, but it was to me. I love continental breakfast.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
And so... So when Trina started talking, I thought this is so funny. She was referencing Esme. She's like, and here comes his continental girlfriend. And I just kept thinking about breakfast and muffins. And I thought it was really funny. I'm like, I feel like continental girlfriend is something you'd order. And then I'm like, I think that's a different kind of a thing. But it made me think about breakfast.
Oh my God, you're funny. Okay, so I'm going to give, like, I'm going to pull you and give a star to GH because, you know, between the scene with Mike and Sunny and the wedding and all of the drama for the week, there's so much to love this week. And I do want to give a tiny nod. We had a tiny, sweet, cute, flirtatious moment with Sam and Dante playing, like, her teaching him her tips and tricks for baseball. So I really, really like that. I like the way the relationship is developing. And of course, like, Olivia just freaking makes me laugh when she's trying to, like, put a curse on Austin. And then, you know, Ned's talking to Olivia and she's like, you know, who the hell does he think he is? This Austin guy. And Ned's like, a doctor. I don't know. So that was kind of fun. And then, okay, I'm going to go. Oh, okay. So Gladys has tears. I thought she was kind of like a robot. So I was like happy to see she was kind of human.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's some strong words. I take it back. You know, about the whole explosion thing, I also want to point this out, okay? Mm-hmm. When Brando was talking to Gladys, he said, hopefully Novak is busy all night with his business.
Okay.
And I felt like that was a clue. He's not coming back.
And she's going to cry into his hanky and keep his memento.
Memento. and so, like, that's the thing. Like, I kind of wondered, like, how much of a role Brando had in this. Like, I didn't know if Brando knew anything because he heard some things. He heard like reference to like blowing things out, right? Yeah. And he's listening to like the Novak guys, and he understands what business is. And his mom is like, "You should learn how to trust people more." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, yeah." So, anyways, I wondered how much he knew, but I just think that was a bit of a hint what he said.
I think so too. Okay, so still at the wedding, Monica Jeanette. I keep thinking Tracy is gonna just barge right in.
I know. She's so like Monica kills me. Like she kills me. Like she takes over, and the stuff that comes out of her mouth is the best.
Okay, so this just reminded me of you when Diane pulled Austin, and she's like, "Come tell me things about yourself." It wasn't like, "Let's go talk. Let me get to know you." He's like, "Come tell me the things about you." Cute and sweet, okay, and just like a little bit like, I don't know. I just love the way
not she tactful.
But perfect for him. Like, it was just, I absolutely loved it. Okay, so I think, oh, and I do have a quiet down star, which is a new star I've added. Brooklyn and Maxie, again, loudly described everything that has happened with that baby. And I'm like, so nervous when they talk out loud in the hospital. So I'm giving them a, "Hey, ladies, just like quiet down."
So it's a warning.
It's a warning.
Before this new star, I was going to jump in and say, just so everybody is aware, like, all your stars are also my stars. But now, I don't know.
And I have a sad star. I'm sad for Dante because we thought that maybe he would get a dad that he could bond with, but nope.
What do you mean?
If Sunny came back as Mike, Dante would have this like whole new dad relationship, right? And like,
if anyone knows what it's like to come home and also not come home again, it's Dante.
Deep.
Yeah, that's deep, me. Deep.
We will leave it on that note. Just like ponder.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we did the things. We set the line. That's a wrap, folks. Have a super awesome weekend.
Bye.
Bye.